Good morning. Can I give you all a warm welcome to our morning worship at Little Hill Church? If you're with us here in the building or online as well, a very warm welcome to you. We're here to meet together to worship the living God through our great God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust by the help and enabling of God the Holy Spirit. The words of Psalm 147 to encourage us in worship this morning. Praise the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Well, that is our hope this morning as we come to worship. Let's just pray together as we start our worship. Almighty and glorious God, we thank you that you are the one who is steadfast and true, who is eternal, who is unchanging. You are the God who numbers the stars, who know each one, things that are beyond our understanding. Lord, is just knowledge to you. But we thank you, O God, that you're also a God who comes to those who fear you, who trust in you, who believe your word and your promises. And especially those, Lord, who have come to the one that you have sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour for sinners, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me. Lord, as we meet here this morning, we remember that the only way that you can receive the praise and worship from sinners such as us is through him, the Son of God, who suffered, who died, who rose from the dead. Lord, that all who believe and trust in him might know a wonderful relationship, might know you, the living God, the awesome God, the God who is God, as our loving Heavenly Father. We thank you, O God, that you draw near to those who are troubled, who are broken in spirit, who are downhearted. And Lord, those who come to you in reverence and in fear and seek that help from the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are near to those who call upon you in truth. And Lord, we do that this morning at the start of our worship. Humble us, we pray. We confess our sins to you, Lord. We confess that our thoughts of you are often not the thoughts that are worthy of your name. We confess, Lord, the pride that is in our hearts, our natural self-centeredness. We confess, Lord, those things that we have said and done and thought which have been sinful and wrong. And we pray again, Lord, for your forgiveness. We plead again, Lord, that glorious work of our Saviour upon the cross, who shed his blood, whose body was broken, that we might know cleansing and forgiveness and wholeness in our very beings. We thank you that he did indeed rise from the dead, and brought that great victory over sin, over Satan, over death itself. Lord, to grant all who believe on you through him that wonderful living hope. So, Lord God, we pray, accept our praise and our worship and our adoration this morning. And, Lord, may you here find hearts that are submitted to you, that in fear of you are right in our holy fear, but, Lord, with love and adoration as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's worship God with our voices this morning. We're going to sing number 19 from the supplement. If you're using the books, the words are there on the wall as well. Based on the words of that psalm we've just read, Psalm 147. Fill your hearts with joy and gladness. Sing and praise your God and mine. Let's stand if we're able and join our voices to worship God this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I welcome you to our service this morning? And we've had the link sent to us. There's some paper copies in the foyer there if you've not got a one through the email. Our preacher this morning is our brother, Fakir Kallo, one of the elders here in the church. And we're looking at 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2. And then this evening, our worship will be led by our brother Joshua Rowe, and he's continuing a series in Galatians 2, so we look forward to that very much when we're praying for you. And our half-term week is over, so we're back into the usual activities of the church here. Just to mention one or two to you, the ladies have a wonderful subject on Tuesday, How Can I Be Sure Christ Is Coming Back, looking at 1 Thessalonians 4, and men, we could read that passage too, couldn't we? So we don't miss out on that great blessing of that topic. And then on Thursday, with it being the last Thursday of the month, we have our fellowship groups in three homes, looking at Isaiah, which is the book we're reading for this month in the church. Two of the groups have a meal before, and if you're at John's group, you're at the home of Victor and Leslie, and there's a meal at 6:30. If you're at Fakir's group, there's a meal with Alan and Margaret at 6:30. So if you could let those folks know, Victor and Leslie, if you're in that group, or Alan and Margaret, if you're in that group, that you'll be there for the meal, they'd really appreciate that. So thank you very much. And then on Friday, it's the monthly Friday fellowship, 11:45 here. There's a list in the foyer if you're planning to come to that, or know those who are, please make sure the names are on the list. Do pray for Kids Club as it restarts this Friday. Derek McDonald is doing a presentation on the Blythewood boxes. And so do pray for Derek anyway. It's a busy time for him with all the Blythewood thing starting up again. But think of him on Friday particularly. And then on Saturday, it's our monthly prayer focus. That'll be led by Fakir here at 9 o'clock. And then following that, the Wigston outreach on Bell Street at 10:30. So please pray about all these things during the course of the week. Then next Sunday, we look forward very much to our visit from Paul Morris, preaching morning and in the evening. His involvement with the International Mission for Jewish People. We very much look forward to his ministry and for any updates on that work from him. Now, just to mention also, if we could be praying for our sister Joy, who's gone into hospital last night. She's had a serious chest infection for the last 2 weeks, and she's been admitted for investigations. No more details are known yet, but do pray for Joy and for Barry at this time. Thank you. Let's come before God again with our prayers this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God who is the source of comfort, and Lord, that underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord, in a world which externally is suffering such turmoil and crises and trials, things, Lord, that make us fearful and anxious, things way beyond our control, Lord, we thank you that we can bring these things to you. Lord, you are the sovereign God. You are sovereign over all the affairs of men and women. You are sovereign over the nations. And Lord, when we see such strife and pain, we think of the wars at the moment in Israel and Palestine. We think of the Ukraine at war with Russia. We pray, Lord, for every effort to bring an end to these conflicts. Lord, humanly speaking, we have no hope, but our hope is in you. But we pray, Lord, that the cost of human life will be minimized. We pray, Lord, for those who are seeking to bring peace. We think of our own government and the Prime Minister and other countries who are seeking to negotiate with peace in the Middle East. We ask, Lord, that you would prosper their efforts. We pray, Lord, that there'll be a minimizing of families and older people and children whose lives are lost. We pray that aid would get through to those in need. But Lord, bring an end to these conflicts, we pray. We would also pray for our brothers and sisters on all sides, Lord, who are caught up in these things, that you would protect and keep them, that you would give them that sure and certain hope with all that is going on around them, Lord, to can remain steadfast to you, to put their trust and their hope in you. We'd remember again, Heavenly Father, those of our congregation here who are recently bereaved, who've lost loved ones very close to them. We asked, Heavenly Father, that you, the God of all comfort and hope, would surround them with your peace. And we would also remember those who do not know you, who are suffering the same bereavements and costs. And we ask, Lord, that in these times they would reach out to you. We thank you, Lord, that in you alone is a living hope, because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And we pray that as we as your people, Lord, bring this great gospel message to those who are without hope, that you give us opportunities, even this week, to share the hope that we have in you, the living God. We thank you, Lord, for the marriage yesterday of Tom and Diane, and we continue to pray for them, for your richest blessing upon them at this stage in their lives, Lord, as now a married couple. We pray that you would help them and support them in their life together. We pray for their families as well, for Tom's sister and Diane's family and children and grandchildren. That, Lord, together that they would celebrate this marriage and support Tom and Diane. We pray particularly, Lord, for those who are not believers, that they would see, having heard the gospel message yesterday about your greater love that has been demonstrated through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, this would speak to them of the love that they need to know, that forgiveness of sins and certain hope in you. We pray this morning, Lord, for your servant Fakir as he brings your word to us, and for Joshua this evening. And we would indeed ask that, Lord, throughout our world today, as on this your day, your word is opened and the gospel is preached and the good news is proclaimed and the saints are built up, that, Lord, you might continue that great and glorious work that the Lord Jesus declared, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Lord, we believe that by hope. We know that Christ is working today, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we pray, Lord, that as your people, we might have open hearts and ready minds to receive your word. But it might not just be words in our ears, but, Lord, actions and a heart response, that we might show our love for you in this dark and troubled world. Lord, the only hope, which is the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we bring our prayers to you now and pray you continue with us. We know your Spirit's help working in our hearts as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now the word for the children, please.
Today's story follows on from last week. Anybody remember? Samuel. And here's Samuel. And Samuel's job was helping this other man, Eli, in God's house. And he'd probably have to do lots of little jobs here and there, helping him. Whether he carried him his food, we don't know. Probably did. Probably helped him out a lot, because Eli was a very, very important man. He was a priest, and a priest was somebody that spoke to God on other people's behalf. So he had a really, really important job. You know, Samuel was important too, and God had plans to make him a very important man of God too. But you know, there was a problem, because Eli had two sons that were very wicked, and God was going to punish them. And God was going to bring a special message. Now, I need a Samuel and I need an Eli. Now, Samuel is going to be somebody that likes sleeping a lot. Do you like sleeping a lot? Come on then. You come up here and you be our Samuel, and you come up and you be our Eli, and you stand there, or sit there. There we go. Because Eli was a bit older, so can have a bit of a seat. Now, one night, okay, get yourself comfortable. There you go. Pull your cover over. Samuel was in bed having a bit of a sleep. And so was Eli, actually. Although you haven't got a bed, you've just got to pretend, all right? And there he was, sleeping away, quite happily. The house would have been quiet. And then God spoke.
Samuel
got up. Now, who else is in the house at the minute that could be calling you? Eli, go on then. Go up to Eli. And he went up to Eli and he said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, no, go back to bed. That's it, he probably would have made himself comfortable again. Okay, Eli, you've just been woken up. Oh, you're probably not too pleased, but there we go. He's only a lad, isn't he? Go. Okay.
Samuel.
Oh, he's calling you again. Eli's calling. Did you call? Did you call Eli? Go back.
Samuel.
He's definitely calling you. Can't be anybody else in the house. Did you call? Yeah, go back to bed. How many times is that? Hang on a minute. How many times is that? Three times. You begin to wonder who's calling him. Who do you think's calling him? God. Because who wants to give you a special message? God. And Eli said to Samuel, this time, as he worked out, this time, if you hear the voice again calling you, you're to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Okay? Go back to bed, Samuel.
Samuel! Samuel!
Oh! Quick! Right, now you're not going to go to Eli, are you? No, I don't know why I said that. Because you're going to say,
speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Right, now this time you said the right thing because it was God calling. God was calling you. And he gave you the special message because you said the right thing. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm listening, God. I want you to speak to me. And God gave a message. Now, it wasn't a good, happy message. It was a sad message about Eli and his two wicked sons, saying that God would punish them. And God wasn't going to allow them to get away with all the wicked things they were doing to him and his people and his house. So it's a bit of a bad message. You've got to go back to bed with that bad message. All right, thank you, Samuel. Because that morning, when Samuel did get up, morning time, Samuel, and you did go to Eli in the morning, and he'd just sit there. And you said, I said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. When he called again, and Eli said, look, you've got to tell me this message, okay? Even if it's a bad message, because I think Eli probably knew. He knew what his sons were like. And Samuel explained everything that God had said, even the bad news that God had said. And Eli was quite straight with him, and he said, yeah, okay, God said that. I accept that that is what God has said. And Samuel grew up to be not just a priest, but a prophet. What is a prophet? Yes, pretty much. Somebody that speaks God's words, exactly. Sends God's messages. So that was your first message, wasn't it? And you went to sleep, Samuel went to sleep, woke up, took that message from God to Eli. That was the first of many of his messages from God, and he became a great man of God because he listened. Well done. Thank you both, our helpers. Very good today. You can go and sit down, and we're going to have a song that's all about listening, because it's read your Bible, read your Bible, read it daily, read it daily. It's a lamp and a light to my pathway. It's a light that shows us what God wants to say to us. So we are to listen, aren't we, when we here in the children's talk, when we go upstairs, and when we're reading our Bible at home as well. We're going to start, I think, on this side, and it's around. So this side's going to start, read your Bible, read your Bible. When you've sung that part, then we'll come to the middle, Okay, we're going to have more voices there. Read your Bible, and then we're going to go to this side to finish, okay? So when this side of sung read your Bible, then this side. Okay, let's see. Which side starting this time?
This side,
okay. This side start, okay.
God, that is a lesson we all need to learn, to hear your voice, to read your word, to be open to it. But we thank you, O God, that even though you are the awesome God, that you speak to those who will humble themselves before you. We pray for the little ones. We thank you for the children. We thank you, Lord, for all they've learned this week through Holiday Bible Club. And we commit each one to you now, Lord. We pray that in their hearts they might hear your word. They might know these things are true, that you are the God of truth. But you're a God of grace and love as well, and they might come to know you for themselves. Lord, water that seed of truth that is placed in their hearts this morning. And Lord, we would pray that for all ourselves as well as adults here, that Lord, we might not be too proud, too hard-hearted, too intelligent by our own standards, not to listen to your word, not just today, Lord, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please, now let's read God's word together. And we're in the 1 John's first epistle, 1 John. So if you've got your Bible there, it's right at the end. The last book is Revelation. Before that, the Apostle John's three brief letters written towards the end of his life. And Fakir is going to be bringing some verses from 1 John 2, the first two verses. And we'll read 1 John 2, 1 to verse 17. So John's first letter and chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Let's hear God's word this morning. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen. Amazing and challenging words this morning. Before we come to look at that word, when Fakir comes up here, we'll sing together the words of from Christian Hymns, number 318, if you're using the books. 318, Spirit of Faith, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us the Godhead known, and witness with the blood. Stand with Abel and worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it's lovely to see everyone. Sun's shining outside, but if you're a true Christian, it's also shining inside. So the light of the gospel is in your life. The sun is shining. Let's come to God in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you that you're the God not only of the past, you're God of the present, and you're the God of our future, that in you lies our hope. Lord, we thank you that you are the eternal being, and your spirit is also eternal, that the one who was at the beginning is also present in us and with us. And we ask his help as we look at your word, and that we might know more about you, that we might follow you more closely, that we might worship you as the true God and love you wholeheartedly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Paul mentioned earlier on, we're going to be looking at first couple of verses of the first letter of John, Apostle John, and chapter 2. Let me read these couple of verses to you, the first two verses. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a great promise, what a great description Paul, the Apostle John, gives to us of a believer. And we know that these letters, the first, second, and third letters, were written by the Apostle John, and which he described himself in his gospel as the beloved disciple. And he was a man who spent day and night following the Lord Jesus Christ over the period of 3 years. He was present at every time where the Lord Jesus was. He witnessed his miracles. He spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ and heard him preach and teach the truth concerning God the Father. He was present when they went up to a mountain. He was with Moses and Elijah when they spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ. So John was with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he says in 1 John 1, first three verses. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that is the Lord Jesus. For the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What John is saying is that he has known the Lord Jesus Christ for a limited and although a long period of time. And he have seen him, heard him, touched him, and shared meal together, done all the things together. And so he knew Jesus fairly well while he was on earth. We had a wedding yesterday. See lovely flowers all around the church building, in the foyer and here. And it was a wedding of Tom and Diane. And it was a quite a joyous occasion. That was the beginning of the married life together. They are within the church here, couples who've been married to each other over 50 years. We're nearly getting down, nearly there ourselves. So they went out 50 years, that's quite a long time. So 50 years, they spent time together and meals together, talk together and share things together. So they know each other, I would think, fairly well. And so he knew, when we're going back to the Apostle John, he said, look, I had meals. I shared what Jesus did. I seen him preach. I seen him teach. I seen him heal the sick. I seen him raise the dead. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him fairly well. And he said, in order to have fellowship with that Lord Jesus Christ, In order to have fellowship with each other, we need to have fellowship together as believers in Christ. What I want to have a look this morning is what are the things which gets in the way of our living a life which is pleasing to God, or barriers to our fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. So when we look at, first of all, hoping it works. There we are. So what I want to have a look at is living as a child of God. So what are the problems we face if we want to live as a child of God? And the biggest barrier to that is the barrier of sin. And this is what we looked at in verse 1 and 2 of 1 John 2. He said, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father." You see, the Christian church is unique. It's not just an organization. It's not something created by human minds and thoughts. It is created by God and created by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And in order to be member of that church which God has created, whose head is the Lord Jesus, we need what the Bible calls is to be born again. It's not you apply for a membership, fill a card, and thinking that you could be a member of that organization. Prior to me becoming a Christian, I was attending a Methodist church. I was going there regularly, week after week, morning and evening. And as we were doing that, somebody suggested I become a member of the church. So that was quite a thing. So I went and I thought about it, and I thought, good idea to be a member of this Methodist church. And we had membership classes. And the minister said to me, he said, "You can become a member of the Methodist Church. It's quite easy. Fill this form, you're in." Okay. But he said, "The most important thing is for you to be a member of God's family and God's church." So that is where it started me thinking of becoming a member of God's church. And the basic requirement, as he put to me, was this, that you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And that's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? For us, if we try to do it ourselves. But it's the work of God by His Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible tells us the whole of humanity is born sinful. There has not been a human being in this world since the creation, that is apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, since the creation who have been free from sin, who have not committed sin. The whole humanity is like that. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your background, what your culture, which land you were born, it makes no difference. The whole humanity being born in sin. And this is what the Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. It means, irrespective of where you were born, what culture and what caste, what ancestors you belong to, whether you're a king or a pauper, you committed sin and you've been separated from the holy God. That's what the Bible tells us. And then somebody will say, what is sin? what is sin that you are talking about? Well, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 tells us this. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. It means, John tells us, that sin is lawlessness. It means not being obedient and living as God demands from every human being. It is not loving God as we should. It's not living a holy life as God would expect and demands from us. It's not loving other human being as we should. And because of this, it brings many serious consequences. And one of the great consequences between sinful human being and the holy God, and the holy God, is a separation between God and man. The Apostle Paul, writing to Ephesians, says this: remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So you see how terrible the situation is for every human being, because we're all born in sin and we continue to commit sin, and we are separated from God because of our sin, and because we break God's law and God's commandments. And so we are people without hope and without a God in this world. But here's a great message. We can be brought into the presence of God. People who've been separated can be united to the holy and the righteous God. And that is the biggest need for every human being. How can that happen? How can holy God accept people like myself and people like yourselves into his very presence? Well, the Bible tells us what we need to do is this. We need to say sorry to God. We need to repent of our sin and realize that we are the disobedient to his word and disobedient to his law. And it's not just saying sorry to others. It's important, which you must do. But the important thing is realizing what sin is. It's an offense, not just another human being. It's an offense against God. And that is whom you need to be sorry. And the Bible tells us that if you do that and also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be made right with God. Realizing that the Lord Jesus has bore all the punishment of your sin as he hung on that cross. As the hymn writer puts it, in my place, condemned he stood. What a savior. And that savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we repent of our sin, if we are sorry for our sin and genuinely sorry to God, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we also need to tell others. Because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And we said earlier that in our own way we cannot be a member of the true Christian church because of our separation from God. But now, if you repented of your sin, you've been reconciled to God, and then you automatically become member of the child of God, member of the church of God, because now you belong to God. He is your Father. And you know, there are millions of siblings like you and me. We went to this wedding and yesterday, and quite privileged to be asked, and joyful occasion. There were people I never seen before, never ever. And we had a great time together because I found they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I found that they had their sins forgiven. They were forgiven people like myself. And we had a great time of fellowship. This is what the Apostle Paul says, Apostle John says as well, that is our fellowship with God, then we have fellowship with one another. So in order to become part of the church, you need to be reconciled to God and to be right with God. I think it's working. Okay. So, when we become Christians and we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to do the thing which pleases Him, and one of the big desire and God has for all Christians that we walk in the light. We are to living in the light. We are told that God is holy. We are told that He is also light, and there is no darkness at all in Him. 1 John 2 says this. This is the message. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. So what God wants us to do as those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we have a transparent lifestyle. We are to live openly. We are to not to do things in any underhanded way. We are not to involve with cheating. We are not to involve with theft, mugs, or anything of that nature. We are to be honest people in all our dealing with not just for the Christian, but with the whole of the society. God wants us to be like that. Peter, writing to his reader, he said, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. It requires from all of us to be honest in our dealing with each other and within the society. It requires that when we come to fill our income tax claim forms, that we do it honestly and properly and fully and openly. It means we live according to God, into the law of the land. There should not be any cheating and dishonesty or hypocrisy in the way we live and in the way we relate to each other. It means not accusing others, not gossiping about each other. It means living a Christian life and not in any way contradiction to what God demands us for in the scriptures. Look at our text. It says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And as we said, the sin is lawlessness. So the problem with us, and indeed all of us, we do our very utmost as Christian believers to live sinless and holy life. But sad thing is, we don't always keep it up. We let God down. We do things which are not pleasing to Him. And there's a bit of tension, isn't there? As a Christian, you want to do the right thing and pleasing to Him. But He also, you have fighting against your old sinful self, old sinful nature, and which drags you down. The Paul writing to Romans 7 talks about this. And the reason John says he's writing this letter is that Christian believers may not sin. It intends for each one of us to live a sinful, sinless life. But also realizing that human being, we would fall and we would fail. And John knows us very well, doesn't he? He knows our nature. He understands us. There should be time when there are times when we let the Lord Jesus Christ down. It might be the way we talk to other people. Perhaps we talk to them in harshly or dishonestly. It might be the way we deal with our business affairs. It might be in our inner thoughts that nobody else knows, but only within our minds. It may be the way we treat other believers and also unbelievers. Have you been saying things behind other people's back? Have you been not living as God intended you to be living? It means that you have failed and let the Lord down, and you have committed sin, and therefore there are consequences to that. But here's the great news, isn't it? But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Isn't that a good news for you and for me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? That we have an advocate. Do you know what an advocate is? I do. Have you ever been to magistrate's court or a crown court? And if you committed criminal offence and you're standing there in the dock and the charges are laid against you and you realise that really the charge, what I've been charged with, is true, is the right charge, and you have no words or answer to your criminal action, but a lawyer or a solicitor can speak on your behalf to the magistrate and also to the judge, and that we call an advocate, somebody speaking on your behalf. You will have to face the consequences of your action if you committed those things. You could end up with a fine or a community service or an imprisonment, depend on what criminal act you have done. When we commit sin, either by our own action, or having impure thoughts in our minds, or not obeying the teaching of God's word, there are consequences. What are the consequences of our sin? We should receive the due penalty, but Jesus stands there before God as our advocate. And he points to his death on the cross of Calvary. He already paid the penalty for our sin. He is a propitiation for our sin. He tells God the Father that when he hung on that cross, when he experienced the mocking and spitting and lashing upon himself, he was paying for the sins being committed. There he was on that cross. Did you realize that? He was paying for your sins and my sins. There's nothing more that can be done. There's no more sacrifice to be made. The penalty has been paid and the slate has been wiped clean with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice was eternal, his sacrifice was sufficient, and his sacrifice was once for all. There's nothing more that can be done. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God and God alone. He has no need, like those who high priest, to offer sacrifice daily, first for his own sin and then for the sin of those other people. Since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. So you see, John's aim was to tell us that we should live sinless and pure lives. But in reality, it hasn't worked, and which we need to come to God and confess our sins. And because we confess our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ pleads our cause. He said, I have paid for those sins which Fakir committed. We don't need to be in despair because God has done it all. So what is God's message to the world? We said, looking at verse 1 and 2 again, that he is the propitiation for our sin, not for our sins only, but also for the sin of the whole world. This is the message. We are so glad the church here has people from all different cultures, from all different nationalities. And we can read this message and know that it's going to all cultures. Jesus, he said, is not just propitiation for our sin, but also for the whole world. John is not saying that propitiation, that is God's anger being turned away because of our sins, not just for people who are from one particular culture, not for our sin only, but also sin of the whole world. That is the same message to the whole society. It doesn't matter where that society is. This is an essential message for the whole world. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What a promise we have from God's word. Anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, we are told, has eternal life. And let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus has borne your sin, that he is your sin bearer? Have you repented of your sin? Have you had your sin dealt with? If you do, you have eternal life, not because I say so, because God says so, and the Lord Jesus Christ says so. But if you have not repented of your sin, you're still under the wrath of God. You still need the punishment. You still deserve the rightful judgment and rightful punishment. That is eternity in hell. And we don't want any of us to be ending up there, because we want everyone who's here and everyone who's listening to be in heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's what we all desire, and that's what we pray for. What a promise we have from God's word. Apostle Paul said, the righteousness of God through Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ, once for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. as Christians, people, we have the responsibility to make that message known to the whole of the world. People around where we live, people we come across in our work, in our employment, in our social life, people we come across because they are neighbors, and we need to declare that message to the whole of society, to the whole of the world. See, Jesus said, the very almost last words, Jesus came and said to his disciple, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of age." God's promise to you. Are you living this transparent lifestyle? Are you living in the light? Is there anything in your life which you're doing in darkness and nobody else knows about? And God has a solution for all of our sins because he's dealt with it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come to him, we need to repent, and we need to have faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live in the light, and we are to declare that message of light to the world, that Jesus is the only Savior who can bring them into the right relationship with him. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn. Have you heard the joyful sound? Jesus saves. Let's pray. What a great news, dear God, to be given to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and not of the world only, but also our own personal Savior. We thank you for what he did on our behalf, and we live day by day with the message knowing that our sins have been dealt with, and our living Savior is with us. We pray that as we go through other week, you help us to live lives which are pleasing to you, that we might live in the light as you are in the light. Help us to bring glory and honor to your name in the way we relate to others, in the way we spend time with each other, in the way we deal with the society, that in all our thoughts and action, Christ Jesus may be lifted up. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.